Good evening.
Good evening. I think it's just me and you so far.
Okay. Let's give it a few more minutes then.
Okay.
Actually, I know, you know, I'm pretty sure that Bacho will come on because she was on the earlier call. So.
Okay.
So let's start saying the Anabakoa.
Okay.
Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Terura, Abegio Tata, Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagvenu taharenu
noa
kupre sayan sintet nun na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat samlen nun gimel dalet. The sequence of Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Barchem tacharem rachamei tzidkatcha tamid gam lev beit harei satagi chatzin kadosh b'rov tucha na'el adata het kuf bet. Yo yachid gea lampa pene zohre kidushata yo gila pezako shavatenu kabel usmatiatatenu yo dea talumo chiko wa tsayota. The letters of the month of Tammuz. There is the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, the cancer. And there is the Taf that created the planet known as the Lavanaz, the moon. Together, the Taf and the Chet have a gematria of 408. But when we add the Kolel for each letter, it becomes 410, which is our connection to Kadosh, holiness. And now we're going to read the four verses that we read every day from the energy of 5774 and 5775. Samuel Bet. Chapter 7, verse 10. Wetam timakom yamim Yisrael untati v'shakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosif v'nei avla la'amotom v'ashe barishona. And now the three verses from this year, starting with Job. Chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo
yishem
imeni lo tateni adu. And then 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. And the third verse for this year comes from Job also. It comes from chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. And now we're reading from the Parasha of Korach, from section 4. We're reading verse 17 of the Zohar, and we're starting out with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkim Te Bidchilu, Urchimu Urchilu, Urchilu Urchimu. The shame Yud Ke Bevav Ke Beyehuda. The call Yisrael Limud Torah. Ve'im Kol Da Im Yashim Elav Libo. K'wan Devar Nash Shave Libeya Uruteya Liatava Kame Mareya Kedain Al Elohe Haruchot Rucho Venishmato. Elav Yaesof Leitzar Ra Betziro Ra Dechaye Vela Shavik Lenavshe Liber Leit Duna Bedina Achara. With all this, if he set his heart upon him, as soon as a person places his heart and will to return to his master, then El, the Elohim, will gather to himself his spirit and his breath. The Hebrew word is neshama. He will gather to him to bind them in the bundle of life, and he does not leave his nefesh out to be judged in another judgment. My commentary. And I'm explaining that the nefesh is part of his soul roots, part of his soul sparks. And that nefesh does not reincarnate. Since the nefesh of the convert does not get judged along with the ruach and the neshama in the same way. The nefesh of the convert has already become complete in his tikkun. And so there, he doesn't pick up any of the negative actions of the ruach or the neshama of that person. Does anybody have any questions? Today's class was on the 11th row of the matrix on the revealed wisdom page. And that 11th row, it's the second column from the left. It says Advanced Reincarnation Series. When you open up that page, you'll have to scroll down to almost the end of the page where it says class number 80. And you're opening up the handout for class number 80, which will start at Issachar of the Jasmines. And that's chapter 33, section 1c. After Reuben did Teshuvah, he merited bringing the Dudaim, the jasmine flowers, which resulted in the birth of Issachar, who is from the good side of Cain, the firstborn. Eve said, when Cain was born, I have acquired a man with God, which is actually an allusion to Cain's rectification through Issachar. Since both Eve and Leah were from the level of Bina, which we know, as we know, is called Ima, Ila'a, the supernal maternal aspect. Both Rachel and Leah are from Eve, who is of the dual nature. Both Rachel and Leah are from Eve, who is of a dual nature. And there's a source from the Likutei Torah that teaches there were actually two Eves. Each one embodies a different mode. Leah, the upper, is the Bina aspect, and Rachel is the lower, the Malchut aspect. Together they form the complete archetype of the feminine principle above. My commentary, and please excuse me, I have to adjust my computer screen. The two Eves have a midrash which gives rise to the various legends of Lilith, which we will only say LL in the future. This name is not to be pronounced, and we use the name LL, and especially at night. One of these midrashim indicates that LL would not have sex with Adam on top. Thus, she became the consort of the Satan and is now considered the female aspect of the negative system. It is also said that Adam had relations with LL while Chava was seduced by the Satan. This is a metaphor for the relationship of the male-female, sun and moon, man and woman. Remember, the moon asked, how can there be two kings? There are two Mashiachs, so there can be two kings. This is something the males of our species will come to know as we experience the growth of the feminine and balance the universe with respect to the paternalistic nature of humanity's societies. At least this is my opinion. Jasmine, or mandrake, according to other translators, was known to have birth powers. Rachel had not as of yet had children and was willing to sacrifice a night of the privilege of being with Jacob in order to increase the chances of conception. Leah waited for Jacob to come from the field and ushered him into her tent. The firstborn takes a double portion in the inheritance because spiritually he actually participates in the conception of the following children. This is why specifically Reuben, the firstborn, brought the Dudaim. The Dudaim transfer from Leah to Rachel embodies a shift in the supernal realms of blossoming powers from upper to lower rungs.
Hello?
Issachar is a result of this. Does somebody have a question?
Yes. I'm wondering, what did they do with the flower, with the Dudaim? I mean, was just having it enough?
Did they brew a tea? You wait for the commentary, I'll explain that a little bit, and then we can go back to your question.
Okay.
Let me read this paragraph first.
All right.
Issachar is the result of this. Although it is not known for sure, it does not seem from the simple story of Scripture that the Dudaim aided Rachel's conception, as she gave birth to Joseph, her firstborn, at a later point. And it says then, And Elohim heard her, and he opened her womb, that it was directly from God. Let us examine some of his level in order to then look back at these, his roots, and understand the inner mechanics. Before we do that, I have a commentary, and before I read the commentary, I just want to bring out the point that was expressed above, that Rachel was willing to give up her time with Jacob in order to increase her chances of becoming pregnant. Now, why would she do that unless she understood what conception, even in those days? Today, we know that a woman's cycle, when she ovulates, and there's only a couple of days where she can become pregnant. What this implies is that that knowledge was available to the women of the children of Israel. They knew their cycle, and they knew when they could become pregnant. And while she was available to Jacob on that particular day, by delaying that time with him, she would know that her cycle was more likely to be capable of creating a child. So now I will read what I have written here. It normally comes as a shock to most people, since the word Dudaim translates usually as mandrake, due to the human belief that mandrakes relate to fertility, and this is primarily due to its appearance as a little man. As the comment indicates, it is questionable to relate the birth of Joseph to the Dudaim. Yet it is quite possible, in my opinion, that the firstborn energy was transferred to Rachel from Leah, and thus to Joseph from Reuben. Now, Batya, did I answer your question?
Not really. Maybe I just don't understand. I guess because at one time I found, this has to be at least 2 years ago, I found a site that was selling the seeds for the Dudaim. It was a site in Israel, and I ordered them, and the seeds didn't grow, although they did tell me that they were very hard to grow. But just like we have the stones of the month and the herbs of the month, and it just makes me wonder, was just the presence of the mandrake enough, or did they brew a tea from it? Or was it just the idea that she was willing to give it up, which she received something in return?
Right. She was willing to give it up. And the mandrake, the flower, looks like a little man. So I'm sure they brewed tea with it, but I don't know for certain. But mostly people, when they dealt with herbs, they always tended to brew some form of tea, or, you know, added it as a spice on the food.
Right.
But I'm not sure. I never heard any answer to your question directly. But the answer to me is that the mandrake looked like a man, and therefore people attributed it fertility to it.
Okay. I had done quite a bit of research on it, and I printed it, and I'll get that out again. It might, you know, 2 years ago I may not have thought of that particular question, and it might be within that set of papers that I printed. So I'll check. Thank you.
Okay. Let me know.
Okay.
The tribe of Levi has no portion in the land. God is their portion. They are to be busy with spiritual pursuit alone. The Rambam teaches that every person has the option to be like a Levi by letting go of worldly endeavors and fully focusing on the above. And I am adding, while it is true that everyone has this option, it is not the correct path for everyone. There is a story from the Zohar regarding Rabbi Shimon leaving the cave after 12 years and being sent back for another year because he was killing people for doing a mundane task of making a living, growing crops and the like. That's the source of my understanding of this truth. Studying Torah will provide you a living, but not everyone has the certainty that studying Torah will provide them the living. And there's a big conflict going on in Israel, a machlochet within the Orthodox communities and within the Israeli society as a whole, because the growth rate of the Orthodox community's children is larger than the other, and so their percentage is rising, but they're not producing economic value according to the secular Israelis because they don't work. They study Torah. And not only do they study Torah and not produce economic value in the minds of the secular Israelis, they drain the taxes that the secular Israelis are paying as because they are paid to study Torah. There's a subsidy that goes to every yeshiva and every kollel, every house of study, so that these people will continue to study. And they don't learn economic skills so that they can move into the workforce. And this is all very much part of the ongoing discussions within the Orthodox community and the secular Israeli community. Continuing to read. Issachar is the pioneer who paved the path for all who wish to do so, because he was born to this world and has his portion in it, and nevertheless restrains himself from making it a focus. He is continuously connected above and is extra bound to the world to come. According to the Or HaChaim, his name means Yesh Sechar, there is reward, in the world that is coming. The Arizal tells us that the catalyst of his birth is the Teshuvah of Reuben. The Zohar states that Teshuvah comes from Bina, which is the eighth Sephirah that lies a rung above the known reality. His name has two shins, or sins. One is pronounced, the other is not. There are those who have a custom to pronounce the second sin by his birth. The first time that Issachar's name is read in the public Torah reading on Shabbat. The form of this letter is three heads sitting on a base. And another form, another form is a dot with three lines, three vavs coming out of it. The three-headed sin or shin corresponds to the three heads of Keter, which correspond to the crowns of priesthood, kingship, and Torah. One can only be born into the first two, whereas Torah can be acquired by anyone. It also includes the other two, as seen above, that by the giving of the Torah to the whole people, they were all called a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Torah includes them all of us. The Teshuvah of Reuben, who had all three, empowers Issachar to be a vessel for some degree of their manifestation, both the three heads of this world and the next. The complete tikkun of Cain came through Issachar. Thus, there is a hint to the fact that the complete tikkun of Cain came through Issachar, who was born as a result of an acquisition, just as Cain is so called. For Leah bought the right to be with Jacob from Rachel as a result of the Dudaim, as it says, therefore he shall lie with you tonight in return for your son's Dudaim. My commentary. Does this mean that Jacob did not have a choice in the matter? Marital rights belong to the woman. A man may not reduce the marital rights of his wife, and in some cases, this means that he is unable to divorce certain wives that come through certain means, like marrying a war captive, as an example. For me, this aspect is problematic, since it would imply that a woman who sets her sights on a married man is entitled, perhaps, to bed him. Women are higher and also lower than men. Through Ruach HaKodesh, a woman may know that she is to bring certain DNA connections to the world by having sex with that man. There is much to contemplate here. Blessed is, and please don't make the mistake to think that I am saying that adultery with a married man is the correct approach. Blessed is Avram, to El, the highest one, who acquires heaven and earth. We learn from this that Avram is one of God's five special acquisitions in his universe. God as if lost ownership of his world when he made it and separated it from himself, and he repossessed his world through Abraham. Eve lost divinity by her mistake and repossessed godliness by giving birth. This reveals a great depth of how awesome the Cain root is. Through its special relationship, it is reestablished, the relationship between man and God, in the closest, most interpersonal manner. This sheds light on the source of Cain's mistake. His name also comes from Kinah, jealousy. A person is only jealous because they see somewhere else something that they want, because they feel that it really does belong to them. A piece of divinity fell away from them through Adam's mistake and is now found somewhere else. My commentary. Language limits our understanding of jealousy. There is a spark of light in everything formed in the world, in the creation, either by Hashem or man, or it would not be formed. When the creation is perfected completely, as it is perfect for the moment in the process as of now, that spark will be revealed by the proper vessel in its proper location. Jealousy is wanting that spark at the wrong time, or the wrong vessel for that spark. Yet a similar spark awaits the person who is jealous. Zealousness is a stronger form of jealousy, and may be the right action at the moment in time, yet may also be a more destructive form of jealousy as well. This is my opinion. God has a much greater degree of favor to show Cain. For this reason, he has to undergo great obstacles to attain it. Cain, the firstborn, is supposed to get a double portion. Cain was jealous of Abel's receiving the divine favor, and also that his brother had an extra wife. He sees not just that Abel has twice as much as him, but that the additional wife is actually his soulmate. This big switch comes about because they eat from the tree of good and evil, which switches them around and causes a big mix-up. My commentary. We see the spiritual principle of satanic chaos at work here. When Satan is given permission to wreak extensive chaos, even good people can get caught up in the chaos. This applies to the physical world. I'm getting a lot of static, so I'd appreciate it if you would press star 6 to mute your phone. If you have a question, you just press star 6 again, and you'll be able to be heard. Thank you. This applies in the physical world and in the spiritual. Reincarnation levels. The Shoah was chaotic, and also the reincarnation of the 60 million who died in the Second World War, as to families, religious teachings, locations, was and is also just as chaotic. This is the reason for the significant number of intermarriages, conversions, and movement of individuals and families throughout the world. At least that's my opinion. Reuben comes from the Cain root and fixes it. He was born into the most exalted acquisitions. When he lost what was his, he was not jealous. As mentioned, Reuben, see the distinction between him and Esav, who was so jealous that he was ready to kill, just as Cain did at the beginning of days. At first, Leah was upset at Rachel's request for the Dudaim, to almost take away my husband, and to also take away my son's Dudaim. This is understood in light of the story of Jacob's matrimony. He wanted Rachel and made a deal with Laban to work for her 7 years. At the end of the term, Laban pulled a switch on him and he gave him Leah instead. Even though Jacob and Rachel set signs between them to avoid this, Rachel gave over the signs to Leah at the final moment to prevent her from being embarrassed. This act of giving away what was hers rectified Cain's taking what was not technically his. Rachel ended up not losing Jacob, for he worked another 7 years and also married her. And I am adding that he married her after 1 week. God has his ways of setting the score straight, and our job is to sometimes sit tight and wait patiently for him to do this. And Rachel was jealous of her sister. Jealousy of scribes increases wisdom, is a teaching of the Talmud. The holy jealousy of Rachel fixes the selfish jealousy of Cain. It revolved around birth, that Leah had children and she didn't. Birth is the main channel for the fixing of souls. For they were disturbed by the original sin. Rachel's jealousy here helped draw and repair the soul. The soul roots for all time. He does not withhold good from those who walk in simplicity. A teaching of the prophet Haggiga. Leah was said to be destined to marry Esau. This is all understood more deeply in light of the fact that Leah was said to be destined to marry Esau. She found out that he was wicked and cried to be saved from this. People said that Esau, Jacob, the twins, would marry the Leah-Rachel twins, the oldest to the oldest and the youngest to the youngest. God heard her prayers and gave her to Jacob instead. This explains why her firstborn Reuben specifically comes to fix the Esau-Cain root. My commentary. Esau and Jacob lived in the land of Israel, while Rachel and Leah lived in Ur Kasdim, a great distance away. Yet both families heard from and about each other, since there were constant commercial caravans from Egypt to the great cities of the east, and possibly even further. After Eve's reacquiring divinity was disrupted by Cain's sins, the Eve root worked through Rachel and Leah. They fixed it by Rachel acquiring from Leah, resulting in Issachar and the world that is coming connection. the chasing away of the highest levels of godliness caused by the original sin was bought and brought back into the world through this whole scenario. So Issachar, the fifth portion, Leo's fifth son, from the side of a good, was born. Since he is from the level of Nefesh, which is called Asiya, there were in him a connection to Klipot and Zuhama, the shells and the dirt of the snake, who attacks the heel. Therefore Esau, who is called a snake, had a hold on him, and he is called the heel of Esau. Since he is from Asiya, which is called the heel, it being the lowest of realms. Leah's seven children correspond to the seven lower Sephirot in order. So Issachar aligns with Hod in the body. It expresses as the left leg. This is the place that Satan damaged when he lost the wrestling match with Jacob. It caused him to limp. And I am adding, Hod also represents the manifestation of the spiritual in the spiritual. Both Pesach Sheni, the second chance, and Lag BaOmer represent Hod, connect to Hod. Reuben is the catalyst for Hod, Issachar's birth. He corresponds to Chesed. These Sephirot find the interlinkage in Aaron, who is the fifth, the Hod representative of the seven shepherds. And a Kohen is called a man of Chesed. The Hanukkah Hod miracle happened through Kohanim. Issachar acquired the crown of Torah, as mentioned. The crown of Torah includes the other two, priesthood and kingship. Issachar, Hod, is the forerunner of Hanukkah. He restores to the world the special inner light, the hidden light of Torah. This snatches back and retrieves the level stolen by Satan from Jacob in their battle. Through Issachar's Mesirot Nefesh for Torah, his descendants were able to give their lives for the Torah and draw a new revelation of the light, a new shining of the hidden light of creation. This is in line with, and the children of Issachar know Binah. The temple was restored, and the Kohanim shone their brightest, and even temporarily took hold of the kingship. We see now a little of why the Arizal here mentions that Issachar is the fifth son. Jacob snatched them from Esau. In the secret of his hand was holding on to the heel of Esau. And Issachar was born from this level of Nefesh. Much later in time, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, whose name has within it Ekev, was born from this level of Nefesh. As we alluded to in previous discussions, based upon the Midrash from Ruth of the Zohar, that Issachar is from Rabbi Akiva. This all finds full elaboration above in the 32nd chapter. This hold of Esav caused the friction in the story around Issachar's birth. It also caused Rabbi Akiva to not learn during the first 40 years of his life. As mentioned, Jacob comes from the Ekev, the heel, because his glory primarily comes out at the tail, the heel end of days. Issachar, Yeshchar, is a special sneak peek preview of this level here and now. All those who make spiritually their primary spirituality their primary focus also draw from this aspect. Therefore, he comes specifically from Jacob snatching Esau's heel, capturing the prime Tohu lights in Esau that are to shine out at history's conclusion. The snatching is the aspect of the sneak peek. Rabbi Akiva furthered his tikkun and built a legion of 24,000 students. Rabbi Akiva furthered this tikkun and built a legion of 24,000 students who drew from this deluxe level. It was such a high category that it could not remain in the world as is, and they died an untimely death. The rabbis attribute their death by plague to a lack of treating each other properly. Because they come from such a high level, they were treated with a very strict standard, especially since they were connected to Rabbi Akiva, who, as mentioned, ascended to the original thought of creation with din, with judgment above. But they're having had a brief heyday, drawing from this premium category, brought it a step closer to the world and paved the way all the more for it to eventually fully manifest at the end of days. He started again and rebuilt from five super students who parallel the five special possessions of God in his world. See above about the root of these five disciples in the five powers of Givorah section. Through them, the whole world will become the special possession of the one above in the final redemption. My commentary. A few years ago, one of our students, Batya from Louisiana, sent me a note regarding Issachar that she had read. It is appropriate to add this to your knowledge of the name and the soul of Issachar. And here it is. Issachar, the son of Jacob, the tribe, was a dweller in tents, studied Torah, and was a discerner of times, was supported by his brother Zebulun. Issachar is spelled Yud Shin Shin Kaf Resh. There are two shins in his name, but one is not pronounced, it's silent. One explanation given for the silent shin in Issachar's name is that he, Issachar, named his son Iov, or Job, in Hebrew, Yud Vav Bet. Later he learned this was a disgraceful name, a name of a heathen god. So Issachar gave his son one of the shins from his name and renamed him Yashuv, which means to return. Hence, his name is pronounced as if it were written with only one shin. The following two verses from Genesis and Numbers testify to the above, and the sons of Issachar, Tola, Puka, and Yob, and Shimron. The sons of Issachar, after their families of Tola, the family of the Tolites, of Puva, the family of the Punites, of Yashuv, the family of the Yashuvites, of Shimron, the family of the Shimronites. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions? We can start chapter 33 with section 2a. Nadav and Avihu. Hopefully we'll be able to finish it in 15 minutes, but I'm not sure that will happen. Later on, Nadav and Avihu also came from the good side of Cain, and this is the secret of the firstborn Nadav and Avihu, Eleazar. On this, the Zohar in the portion Acharei Mot asks, it should have said the Eleazar and Eleazar with a vav. It is so an allusion to Cain, who was the firstborn of Adam, the firstborn of all history, and he reincarnated into Nadav and Avihu. Eleazar and Itamar, however, are from a different root. Therefore, it does not use the vav, which means and, with Eleazar to separate him from Nadav and Avihu. However, only Nadav had his ruach from the level of Cain, which is the secret of the verse. Sustain me with your ruach, Nadiva, generous spirit. His nefesh came from his elder, Aminadav, the father of Elisheva, his mother. And so he took the last three letters of Nadav. Nadav Vav He is Nadav Yud He. Yud He is the upper unification within the Tetragrammaton, and in terms of Nadav, implies that he had higher connection. Exactly what the Arizal says here about him having the special level of Ruach. Ruach Nediva. The verse that this is learned from is in the special psalm of David's repentance over the Bathsheba scenario, which is Psalm 51. It involved him falling into what seemed to be adultery, even though it was not. His nonetheless repenting over what seemed so fixed a great part of Cain's taking Abel's wife. Nadav helped make somewhat of a tikkun for this by not getting married at all. This is the meaning of Abihu. He is from Adam, the father of the entire world. However, with respect to Abihu, both his nefesh and ruach were from Cain. And that is why he is called Abihu. Literally, he is my father. To indicate that all of his levels were from Cain, who received the nefesh from Adam himself, the father of the entire world. This is the meaning of Abihu. He is from Adam, the father of the entire world. Av, father, is in Chachmah. Abihu indicates strong, essential Chachmah linkage. Abihu is Av, father, of Yud-Heh-Vav. Chachmah includes the energies of Bina and Dat that come from it and are included in Yud-Heh-Vav. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great awesome day of God comes, and he shall restore the heart of fathers to their children and the heart of children to their fathers. Atzilut Chachmah Abba is the father of Bria, the children. The prophet Elijah will come and through his great power of prophecy unite above and below, Atzilut, with Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. He will do this empowered by the super Nedav Avihu energy that is entrusted to him. In simple terms, the universe will awaken to know that it has a loving father. This will bring everyone close to their father in heaven and to each other. Cain, who murdered his brother, will be responsible for the greatest love and unity and brotherhood known to mankind. This is the secret of we are unclean for the Nefesh Adam, soul of man, which were, Adam is referring to Nadav and Abihu, the Nefesh of Adam himself. However, since Nadav did not have the Nefesh of Adam, it does not say Nefeshot Adam in the plural, since the main Nefesh of Adam was only in Abihu. This prevented those who carried their bodies out from the tabernacle from offering the Paschal lamb. Their plea elicited the giving of a whole new mitzvah and portion of Torah, the Pesach Sheni. It is brought a month later by all those who are unable to bring it at its fixed time on Passover itself. Included in the criteria of who can bring it are those who are ritually impure by way of impurity of a corpse before Pesach. This impurity comes as a result of the original sin. The second chance comes to give extra opportunity to fix things. It plants a motion in creation of teshuvah, fixing mistakes. As mentioned, this in general is the theme of the Cain root, and his superiority over the Abel root, mostly brought to fruition through the Nadav and Avihu channel. Avihu also received from Nachshon, his mother's brother. The Arizal starts this paragraph by mentioning that Avihu received from Nachshon, his mother's brother. The rabbis teach that one who wants to marry a woman should always check her brother. It is learned from, and Aaron took Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadav, the sister of Nachshon, to him for a wife. In other words, this dynamic empowered Avihu to draw from the Nachshon energy, because he, Nachshon, was also from the root of Cain. Because he was also from the root of Cain called Nefesh. Furthermore, since the main attachment of the Zuhama, of the snake in Adam, is on the level of the Nefesh of Asiya, he is called Nachshon, after the Nachash, the snake. A step closer, Mashiach comes to transform, sublimate, and harness the snake energy to the good side. It comes from the unique messianic place, the 50th gate. It is channeled through Nachshon, the prince of the tribe of Judah, the forefather of Mashiach. The snake tastes not his food, for whatever he eats tastes like dust. He always crawls on his belly in the rectified state. This represents one who is completely nullified. Excuse me. Nullified to and included in the infinite light. Let my soul be to all as dust is in the morning liturgy. Mashiach will purify and elevate the entire world to this level, the exalted inclusion of the 50th gate in the infinite one. Nachshon, who was at this level, was the one who jumped into the sea and caused it to split. When one is in extreme danger, the essence surfaces. He demonstrates complete trust in God and nullification to his will. This was the catalyst for the miracles and opened the path for the whole nation to walk through the sea on dry land. So it will be with Mashiach by the final redemption. His outstanding faith and trust and self-discipline will push the entire people through the pangs of exile, make miracles sprout left and right, and open the light of the grand 50th date to shine to all. The supernal gate removed two malchin from nukva, which is two times the word or, as we discussed on the verse, v'ahavta, and you shall love God your Lord. This is the gematria of the Nachshon, to teach that Nachshon, through his good deeds, restored them to the nukva. Judah is rooted in malchut. The first prince of this tribe has to work to fix nukva, the malchut feminine principle. Nukva is the partsuf that infuses this world. Mind power is light. Nukva has two mind powers, two lights. From this comes love and fear of God, which is twice or, equaling ve'ahavta, from which is learned the mitzvah to love God for fear and love. Together are two wings that propel the soul above to cleave to God. The main attack of the snake, the evil inclination, is to put the soul asleep to divine connection. It causes us to forget about our connection to God. The main attack of the snake, the evil inclination, is to put the soul asleep to divine connection. He injects the poison of materialism and causes the soul to forget what it is here for. Nachshon jumped into the sea and jolted the entire people into remembering their purpose. His self-sacrifice stands for generations in the soul switch board as a battery to enlighten Nukva and the whole world drawn from it to aspire to on high. My commentary. When one works with the 72 names of Hashem, it is good to remember the above paragraph and the wake-up call performed by Nachshon ben Aminadav for all the generations. This is a good kavanah to have at the moment of scanning or reading the 72 names. Moreover, when it reincarnated into Yishai, David's father, then the level of Cain called snake was completely rectified. As the verse says, who consorted with Abigail's daughter of Nahash? The sages explain that she was the daughter of the one who died because of the bite of the Nahash, alluding to the fact that Yishai was the end of the rectification of the Zuhama of the Nahash, having the nefesh of Cain. Nevertheless, he died because of the bite of the snake, because of the sin of Adam. Thus, more completion was achieved through Yishai than through Nachshon. My commentary. Yishai is the second chance, just as described above. More is accomplished in the process of Teshuvah than would be accomplished if someone does not ever make that mistake. Yishai and David are also from Judah. Accordingly, they also took a major part in rectifying the snake, who is stationed immediately beneath Malchut in the worlds. Coming after Nachshon, they built on and furthered his work. Yishai was one of the four who never sinned. His death was directly for the original sin and made a great repair for it. His great level of perfection paved the way for David, the Mashiach root, to be born in the world. From these last paragraphs, we see clearly that Nadav and Abihu, the Cain root, is instrumental in fixing the tree of knowledge and bringing the final redemption. Returning to the discussion of Nadav and Abihu, since they were on the level of the nefesh called Asiyah, the Zuhama of the snake attached itself to them, and they sinned in the incident of the unauthorized incense offering. As a result, they were punished with death, which has its hold on Asiyah. That's the end of section 2A. Does anybody have any questions? The class is this week. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock West Coast time will be our Rosh Chodesh connection. I hope you'll join us. Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we will have our Zohar class for the Parsha of Korach. And then Saturday night at 8 o'clock, we will have our Zohar class for the Parasha, I believe it's Hukat, the next Parasha. Or it may be Balak, I always get the order mixed up. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will continue our classes in the mitzvot of the children of Noah. Monday at 7 o'clock, we will continue our class in eating is a tikkun. Eating is a correction. And next week, on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will have class number 81 in the Advanced Reincarnation series. Does anybody have any questions? And I remind you that Rosh Chodesh started at sundown tonight. while we're having our connection to be connecting more to the day one of the month, which is the second day of Rosh Chodesh, there are still rituals to do tomorrow and tonight. There's still a connection to be made. Read the blog, read the emails and the links of the blog and the links on the email to find out what those rituals are and to make the connection for your Rosh Chodesh. We will make the connection tomorrow with everyone, but individually it can be done tonight and tomorrow. Please consider doing that. The month of Tammuz will be very interesting to learn about. I bid all of you shalom and an absolutely wonderful new month and a wonderful new week. Shalom.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
I did forget to mention that our class at 7 o'clock. You're welcome. I forgot to mention the class on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Is a question and answers, and as of today I don't have any, so please send them to me. And also we're running classes at 4 p.m. West Coast time, 5 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. or 7:30, excuse me, it's 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, and 7:30 East Coast time. These classes are mini Zohar classes. We do three or four verses only, and we do them every day, Monday through Thursday. So please join us. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Good night.
Good night.